Philippians chapter 2, we got down to, we'll probably just, let's start in verse 5. We'll read, I know we got further than that, but let's just read down to where we want to get to. In verse number 5, let's see, I may have it on the screen there for you. There we go. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Here's something I want to point out in just in passing. It said, let this mind be in you. Well, Paul wrote this as well, 1 Corinthians 2:16, remember? For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now watch. Paul says we already have the mind of Christ. And then Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So in one place he says you already got it. In this place he says let it be in you. And then when you go to Romans 12, and I'm fixing to put all this together for you. In Romans 12, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, talking to saved people, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. So, let me say this, and I'm going to move on, because I didn't deal with this last week. That mind, all right, you have two minds. We're not talking about brains. Brain is an organ in your head. Some people have one, some people don't. You have a mind, and then when you get saved, you have the mind of Christ. Now, here's the problem. What Paul is saying in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind of Christ, let this mind be in you. So in other words, once you get saved, you have to renew your mind, according to Romans, to make you think like Christ, act like Christ, be like Christ, want to do right. There are some people that are saved that don't think right. They don't do right. Yes, they're saved. The Lord Jesus Christ has saved them, but they have not renewed their mind. And so you just have to remember that you've got two minds. Some people, sometimes you think the way you want to think, and we need to think the way the Lord wants us to think. So anyway, that's what he was talking about there. Let this mind be in you, and so on and so forth. Now, let me get down to, let this mind be in you. Okay, we got that, and we dealt with that. All right, then he said, of course, that's what he was talking about, humbling yourself. So when it said there in 5, made himself of no reputation, born in a manger, such and such, no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. We're talking about the King of Kings, the one that created this world in 6 days, rested on the seventh. He took on the form of a servant. He came down in the likeness of men, two hands, two feet, nose, two ears, so on and so forth. Walked everywhere he went, didn't have a place to lay his head, in the likeness of men. Came down, down. Therefore, or wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things, of things in heaven, that's angels, seraphims, cherubims, everything that's up there, things in heaven, things in earth, that's all of us, the animals and everything in earth, and then things under the earth, that's demons, hell, the devil, all of that, the underworld. Now, if you don't believe there's an underworld, well, just watch TV a little while. The walking dead, that's the underworld. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, I want to show you something. Maybe I can, hopefully the camera can pick this up. I'm going to put Lord Jesus Christ. That is his name. Now, you say, well, I thought his name was just Jesus. That's his human name. That's God the Son. The Lord, that's God the Father. Christ, Christ means anointed one. That's God the Holy Spirit. There's the Trinity. The Lord, Master, Lord, Master, that's God the Father. Jesus, Son, Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ. Every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Saved people are going to confess him at the judgment seat of Christ, which is going to happen about right there where my finger is. Lost people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to confess the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. That's for lost people. Saved people, lost people, every knee, saved, lost, doesn't make any difference. When it's all said and done, every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, there are some discrepancies because people say you have other groups like you have the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witness and several others. They don't believe Jesus was God. They believe he's a good person like Moses and all the rest, but they don't believe he was God. Now, let me show you something. In Matthew 11:25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, O Father, comma, Lord. So, the Father, God the Father, is Lord. He's God. Okay? Then we read in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 11, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is who? Lord. So not only is the Father Lord, but Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay? And then you have in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit. So you have the Father is the Lord, you have the Son is the Lord, and you have the Holy Spirit is the Lord. All three is God. Now, we finished with this last week, and I'm gonna start with it tonight. We just read in Philippians chapter 2, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? Okay, go to the Old Testament in Isaiah 45 and verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am who? God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee should bow, every tongue shall swear. Swear to who? God? Isaiah 45, God is the I. God is the one that everybody's confessing to, right? You go to the New Testament in Philippians chapter 2, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Isaiah says God, Philippians says the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's the Lord Jesus Christ? He's God. So, and there you have that. Now, excuse me, let's run down to verse number 12. Boy, now watch this. Verse number 12 of Philippians chapter 2. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. So Paul's writing to this church of Philippi, and he says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, you've always done everything that I've told you to do and taught you how to do and this, that, and the other, not as in my presence only. Y'all know that everybody acts right when the preacher's around. Everybody acts right when the preacher's around. Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. I've been getting word that it's easy to act right when the preacher's around, but now that I'm nowhere around, I'm still getting good reports. Now watch this, comma, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Oh my goodness. Work out. Now, you say, why you bring this up? Watch. You wouldn't believe how many times people have pulled this verse on me, and they say, this is what they say. They say, well, look at that, preacher. You have to work out your salvation. You have to work. You have to go to church. You have to be good. You got to turn over a new leaf. You have to work out yourself. You have to work to be saved. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have to work to be saved. And I just sat there and listened and played dumb, which is easy for me to do. And you say, well, what did you do? What do you do? If you don't know what to do, keep reading. If you don't know how to explain something, keep reading. Now, let me read it for you. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you. Who does the work? God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Remember this. You have to have a garden first before you can work it out. You cannot work a garden until you have one first. You cannot work out salvation until you already have it. A Christian does not work to get saved. A Christian does not work to stay saved. He works because he is saved. I came to church tonight not because I'm trying to get saved. I came to church tonight because I want to, because I am saved. You can't work out something unless there's something already working on the inside of you. Watch, you got a garden. You till that garden, you put seed into the ground. You put seed in. Seed in, God worketh in, you put seed in the ground, and then that ground works out what's in. Put a kernel of corn in the ground, in. Fruit comes out of, works out of the ground. So what do you have? Work out your own salvation. What God has put in me, I have to work out so y'all can see it. It's about fruit. What God put in me is the root. I'm already saved. I'm not trying to work for salvation. I'm working out what God has put in. Y'all see that? It's very easy. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh, watch, in, notice the terminology, worketh in you. What am I supposed to do? Work out what God has already worked in, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Does that make sense? A Christian works out. If you want to see results, if you want to see results, we were talking about people going to the gym, and so I don't go to the gym until it gets warm outside, and when it gets cold, I stay in and eat Twinkies and fudge that people bring me, and then it starts getting warm, and I want to work out, so. And you can tell, you can look and say, well, they don't work out. I'm not looking at nobody. I'm looking at the screen back there. You tell, you look at somebody and say, boy, they don't work out. Now, I know we're laughing, but watch this. You ought to be able to look at a Christian and say, they work out. Or, they don't work out. We'll save that for a Sunday morning. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that does the working in, and you work out. Now, let's see. Let's see, by where was I? Okay, let's look. Do we need to spend any time on verse 14? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do we need to see somebody's calling right now? And they're wanting to murmur and dispute right now on the phone. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Boy, wouldn't it be good just to bow our heads right now and come to the altar and get all of that, you know, under the blood. Now, why do I want to do all things without murmurings and disputings? Verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Did you know? Remember I told you the first part of chapter 2, we were talking about unity. It's good for people to, or the brethren to dwell in unity. A church ought to strive. I know it's difficult. And I told you, the bigger we get, the harder it is to keep everybody in unity and keep everybody going in the same direction. It's difficult. But did you know, ladies and gentlemen, in a weak, in a crooked and perverse nation, you know one of the strongest things we can do is stay unified. Did you know one of the worst testimonies a church can have is the lost world to hear about trouble going on in a church? And they say, well, I ain't going to church. I can stay home and stay out of that mess. Boy, when trouble comes to a church, it's all over town just like that. And all the world, the wicked and the crooked and perverse generation said, look at there. I ain't going down there. They're no better than I am. That you may be blameless without murmurings and disputings. Now, why do I want to do all things without murmurings and disputings? So I can be blameless and harmless. The sons of God. I didn't say perfect. Blameless and harmless. Nobody can point a finger and say, oh, look, you're the sons of God. Without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine. Millsfield, this church is supposed to shine as lights in the world. And when the world hears about, whether it's here, another church, wherever, and there's a man, that's, the devil loves it. I'm telling you, he loves it. If he can't keep people from coming to church, what he'll do, he'll start dividing and start, I mean, just a ruckus in the church. It'll get around town faster than you can think about it. And the lost world's like, well, I was thinking about going down there, but I ain't going down there for having all that kind of trouble. Yeah. Then he said, verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now, the day of Christ, let me explain that to you. We did that before, but let me just do it for refresher. The day of Christ, in this reference, is in reference to the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is for saved people. That's where we get our inheritance. That's where we get our rewards. So, you put all this together with the previous verses we just read. Do everything without murmurings and disputings. Why? And so, in a world of, or excuse me, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, people will be able to look at us without blame, without harm, and without rebuke. They can't poke your finger at our church and say, boy, y'all caused me to not go or caused me to whatever. And then Paul says, when I get to the judgment seat of Christ, that I may rejoice, because I wasn't guilty of none of that. I may rejoice and I'll receive, that I won't run in vain. Paul says, I've taught y'all, and I've taught you all these things, and when I get to heaven, it won't be for naught. It would be like Paul telling the church at Philippi, all of these right things to do, And he taught them right. He run well. And then they turn and do right the opposite. Paul says, that would be like me just running in vain, laboring in vain for nothing. I taught you for nothing. You didn't listen and all of this. He said, I don't want you that way. I want to be able to rejoice in the day of Christ so I get rewards for that and get an inheritance for that. Let's see what 1 Thessalonians talks about. Talking about that holding forth the word of life. He's talking about the Bible, the word of life. It'll give life to people that I may rejoice in. Let's see what 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote this one as well. That you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto this kingdom in glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it were in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Remember what Philippians said? For it is God that worketh in you. That's why you need to read your Bible, because that word, that's like holding God. Have you ever heard somebody say, oh, if I could just walk hand in hand with Jesus like the disciples did. Do y'all realize we have something better than the disciples? They had Jesus in the flesh walking with them. Wonderful. Great. Something they didn't have. They didn't have his word. We have his word in our laps. The word of life that is working in me, it's better than having him. I can hold hands with him by reading his word, and it starts working in me so then I can work out. Look at John 6:63. Jesus said this, it is the spirit that quickeneth. That word quickeneth, make alive. It's the spirit that makes alive, that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are what? Life. Paul said, the words of life. Jesus said, the words I'm coming out of my mouth is life to you. We were talking about that word blameless a while ago. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul wrote this, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved, how? Blameless, remember, until when? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I stand before him at the judgment of Christ, I won't be blameless, without rebuke, harmless, and so on and so forth. That's not always the case, but that's what we strive to be and strive to do. Now, let's see. Let's look at verse 17. We got down to verse 17. We're back in Philippians now. In verse number 17. Now, what happens? Paul starts, it's almost like you can sense Paul's heart. Remember, he gets lost up in heaven there. He says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name. Boy, he's all up in heaven. And then he comes back down and he said, all right, let's bring her back down to earth. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who worketh in you. And then when he starts verse 17, he starts getting real personal with the church. And I'll show you what I mean. Verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice, this is what he said. He said, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying, well, what in the world does that mean? Paul is saying, if I have to die in order to produce in you the kind of Christian you ought to be, I'm willing. I'm willing to die. I'm willing to sacrifice in order to produce in you the kind of Christian you ought to be. I'm happy to die for you. I'm happy to live with you. And if any sacrifice has to make me and make the offering acceptable unto God, is all right with me. And then verse 18, he says, for the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. You ought to think the same way I think about other people. And then he says, but I trust and the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto. Now, watch, he gets real personal. He starts talking about people his buddies, his brethren in the faith. Timothy is a young preacher. Matter of fact, he wrote 1 and 2 Timothy to Timothy, one of his preacher friends, once somebody he led to the Lord, trained in the faith. But he said, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Now watch this. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Now, Paul says, hey, I'm in jail. I'm sitting here in jail. I had rather come see y'all myself. But I thank the Lord that I've got somebody like Timothy. Now, he's going to care for your state. Now, you're thinking, okay, what state were they in? Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi, or Georgia? We're not talking about that kind of state. He says, I don't have anybody else like-minded. All I got is Timothy, and I'm going to send him to you who will naturally care for your state. Notice he says the word state twice. Be of good comfort when I know your state, okay? In other words, your situation. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your situation, your state, what you're in right now. Now, if y'all hadn't never got anything, that was probably improper English, but hallelujah anyway. If you've never gotten anything from nothing, get this right here before we go home tonight. This right here will, I wish I could get this just. There are some people I just wish I could just rip their neck and take what. Some of you is like, hallelujah. I say that with love and charity, of course. Just pull their neck off and just turn it upside down and pour in to their brain what I'm fixing to tell you. Now, state. I need y'all to remember this. There is a difference in your standing and your state. Now, if they should give it to you, your standing is your salvation. It never changes. It can't change. It's fixed. Salvation, your standing, my state is my service. Your standing is, hang on, let me get me some room right here. Let me get some room right here. Can y'all still see under that line? Your standing is your relationship. Your state, anybody know? Your fellowship. Your standing doesn't change. That's your position. This is your practice. My position in Christ is different than my service. Sometimes this guy in me don't act like this guy. You better get it down. This guy wants to take control of that guy. But if that guy don't submit fellowship and service, he don't act right. If you were to look at that guy, sometimes you look at him and say, he don't act saved. He don't talk saved. He don't have the mind of Christ. This is the two guys that you battle each and every day of your whole life. When you decide whether you're going to come to church Sunday morning, and I'm not talking about people out of town, sick, have to work, not talking about all of that. Y'all know I got more sense than that. I'm talking about just pure laziness. You wake up on a Sunday morning. This guy wants to go to church. This guy wants to stay on the couch and watch television. Can I get an amen right there? This guy wants to get up and read the Bible. Have you ever wondered why you start reading your Bible on January 1? I'm going to read the whole Bible through. And this guy, by the time March gets here, this guy has done overtook, and you done quit reading your Bible because this guy has found something else to do. How are we doing right now? Don't ever get salvation verses mixed up with this guy and service verses. Paul says, I want to know your state, how you're living for the Lord. I already know you're saved. I know you're saved. I led you to the Lord. Now I want to know how your service is, what your state is. All right. Y'all are saying, well, Brother Jeremy, you got to give us some verses. I'm glad you ask. Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, Paul wrote this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's salvation. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we... Y'all see it? I didn't pull these words just plumb out of the air. I got them out of the Bible. Wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. My standing is my salvation, justified by faith, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved, and nothing can change that. All right? Didn't like that verse. But God, Ephesians 2, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places, where? In Christ Jesus. Did y'all know when I got saved when I was 10 years old, I got placed in Christ. Where's Christ? At the right hand of God. I got placed. My standing is in Christ. There I am. Now, y'all are looking at me going, you're not up there with Christ. You're down here with us. No, y'all are seeing this guy. Y'all are looking at this guy. The saved part y'all can't see is in heavenly places. Has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places, where? In Christ Jesus. I'm already there. It's fixed. Can't be changed. All right. 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, saved. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. What's the gospel? Death, burial, resurrection. Which I preached unto you, which also ye received, and wherein ye... That's my standing. Cannot be changed. It's fixed. Now, all right, let me tell y'all something. All right. I'm gonna make two statements. You're gonna laugh. Some of you are gonna grunt. Some of you are gonna scratch your head. Some of you may get up and walk out. But you're looking at somebody that's perfect. Terry's going, what are you talking about, Willis? I'm gonna make two statements. The first statement, you're looking at somebody that is perfect. Standing before you today. Lenny's fixing to get up and walk out. Statement number two, y'all are looking at somebody that's not perfect. You're saying, how can you be both? He's perfect. Cannot sin. Can't sin if he wanted to. Let a car pull out in front of me and watch what this guy does. Just because I get mad and throw my fist and Does that mean I'm not saved? He's perfect. Can't sin. That's my standing. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. I've already showed you both places. Wherein ye stand, Philippians, Paul says, I want to know your state. How you doing in your Christian walk? You reading your Bible? You praying every day? How's your walk with the Lord? I already know you're saved. I'm not worried about your standing. That's fixed. Paul says, I'm concerned about how you're doing in the Lord. See the difference? All right, let me show you something else. Now, y'all better get this down. If you'll get this down right here, I'm telling you what. Did y'all know? Now, look, I know there's a lot of new music and all of that kind of stuff, and some of it I can, you know, some of it I can handle, you know, praise and worship. I'm not against it, okay? Some of it's good. So, you know, I was raised on Southern gospel music. I love it. Can't help it. Crucify me, whatever you want to do. That's just the way I'm going to, you know, check out. But look, old school, hymn book. Ready? Let me show you the difference. A lot of the new songs, don't get mad at me, okay? Don't get mad at me right here. Most of the new songs, you can't tell whether they're singing to God or or the girlfriend. Are we okay? When you listen to the words, you're like, are they talking about God or the dude lost his girlfriend? It's all breathy and... Look, you say, well, I like that. Help yourself. It's a free country. I can't handle it. Breathing all. Okay. Song book. Hymn book. Ready? Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Listen. They don't write stuff like this no more. Verse 2 says, born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. Whoever wrote Heaven Came Down knew something about Bible words, standing. Oh, what a standing is mine. I bet you we've sung that 100,000 times, and some of you are like, what in the world is oh, what a standing is mine? Talking about that right there. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine, justified fully in Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. Now, my state don't always act right. You catch me on a bad day. Some of you have. All right, get this down right here. Get it down. 1 John 3 and verse 9. Are you sure you're ready for this? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. If you're saved in this room right now, whosoever is born of God, that's saved, doth not commit sin. Y'all see that? Don't answer this question. But have you sinned today? Did you sin yesterday? Are you saved? Well, that right there says whoever's born of God don't commit sin. All right, hang on. Y'all better get it down. 1 John 5 and 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Ain't that something? All right, y'all ready? 1 John 1. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, And he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, say people, these things write unto you that you sin not. I wished you wouldn't. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. He's the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Now, here's what we got. We got a problem. 1 John 5:18 and 1 John 3:9 says, whosoever is born of God, saved, don't sin. And then 1 John 1 says, if you say you hadn't sinned, you make him a liar and the truth ain't in you. How are you going to fix that? Now watch this. Let me read 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Y'all see that? Remember I told you? He's perfect. He don't sin. Couldn't sin if he wanted to. We change verses. 5:18. For we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. See that? Him. All right, let's go to our other verse. 1 John 1. If that dude right there says we have no sin, he is deceived and the truth ain't even in him. But if he does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Amen. Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. See the difference? If you'll get that right there, it'll help you. I'm saved, sealed, delivered, and the devil can't do nothing about it. Amen. But you know what the devil can do? He can work on that dude. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When I got the mind of Christ, he says, why don't you let that control this? Y'all have heard the illustrations before. I wanted to get a little further in this. What time is it? Oh, it's time to go. Hang on. Preaching time. All right. Watch this. I'm fixing to go. Hang on. This guy right here. Y'all see him? He looks like, Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's what he looks like. And our saved part on the inside looks like Barney Fife. Now, every morning when these two guys wake up, I have to live with both of them. When they wake up and they get into a fight about do we want to read our Bible or not, well, this guy is going to overpower this guy and you're going to wind up not reading your Bible because you've been feeding him more than you've been feeding him. He likes dead things. He likes The Bachelor. He likes the housewives of every city in America. I stumbled through the other day. You got one for Atlanta, one for Los Angeles, one for something. I was like, good night. He wants to come to church. He wants to read his Bible. He wants to pray. And this guy don't. Now, if you want to live the victorious Christian life, you need to feed this guy so much he looks like Arnold, and this guy looks like Barney. That's the Christian life. You know how David, little shepherd boy David, killed 9-foot Goliath? Because he was walking after this guy. That's the Christian life. Now, I say this again, I'm fixing close. I'm perfect. I don't sin. I sin every day. But I don't sin. I'm perfect. But I'm not perfect. See the difference? And somebody that don't understand that is going to have you so confused in your Bible, like I could have done and showed you those verses. I could have showed you, without showing you this one, I could have just showed you that one and gave the invitation, and everybody in here would have had to get saved again. Whosoever born of God. Now, I could preach that Sunday morning and confuse the whole audience. Y'all born of God? Did you sin yesterday? Nope. Every head bowed, every get down this altar and get saved again. You lost it. Did y'all watch something you wasn't supposed to this past week? You get out here. Fire the baptistry up. Let's go. Let's get everybody saved again. And the church said...